You're about to hear a message from the team at C3 Church Bethel. We pray that this message will inspire you to live your best life and bring life to the people around you.
But today I'm just want to magnify God in a different sort of way. And here's some definitions of magnify. To see something larger and more clearly. I like doing that with my binoculars. I like sitting in my lounge room in the morning and the sun's coming up and I'm having my pot of tea and I pick up my binoculars and see whether there's any foxes running around. That's just one of my quirky little things. And I, you know, the binoculars make things much clearer across the paddocks. Secondly, magnify means to hold something with greater significance. It means to increase the value of the size and the strength and the power and the significance of things, of something. And lastly, it can mean to praise something or someone more highly. And today I want to do that with God, that I want God to be, you to be able to see God more larger and more clearly. I want you to be able to hold God with a greater significance. I want you to be able to see the value of God better than perhaps you have before. Whether it be a little incremental gain or something that's really big and that can be life-changing. And there are those moments when suddenly we get a breakthrough in our understanding and think, life can change on this. Just that understanding. And I've certainly had those experiences. And I want you to be able to praise God bigger than all. The word magnify comes from a word called from the Greek of magnus, which means great. And sometimes when you're doing that and we want to speak about how great God is to someone else, you don't always need to do it in words. One of my early, for those who don't know me, I'm a general practitioner. And one of my first patients the other day was a man I'd never met before. This elderly man came in with his carer and he had a crook chest and he wasn't well on that day. He had a cough and he was breathless, he had a fever. He felt pretty sick. He was on the verge of developing pneumonia and he knew it. And he'd been through this before and he wasn't feeling very well. And so I talked to him a bit about it. There's certain things you need to know medically and get a bit of background on someone you haven't met. But we chatted back and forth a bit about that. And then he quietly just said, I just want to let you know I'm an Aboriginal man. And there are certain consequences of that in terms of things that I make sure are written on his prescriptions and it brings financial benefit to him. And he was just wanting to make sure that was happening. And so I said, right, we'll set all that up and make sure that goes on. And then and I just started to question him a little bit more and about himself and where are your people from? And he told me. And then I responded, so that makes you a Wiradjuri man. I'd like to hear some more about that at some stage. And because I stopped and showed some interest in him and his background and valued that, just seen the light come on in his eyes. And he looked different at the moment. It was a God moment. Had I said anything about God? God moment was a grace moment. We looked at each other and something connected. Kara was sitting there watching, suddenly realised, what was going on? I missed something here. She didn't understand. Because I valued him and his background, and perhaps in a way he's not experienced before, something happened to him on that day that was probably much more therapeutic than what the prescriptions I gave him. He went away feeling someone is willing to treat me and my background, my heritage, my culture, or value. And we can approach our understanding about God in a very theological way, lots of detail. We can look at this and we can write out, now this text says this and this text says that, And there's value in that. Doing good theological study is very grounding, very beneficial. But it's what goes on deep within that is even more important. And so what's God like? What's he been showing us about who he is and what he's like? But we're going to just magnify. We just want to talk about magnifying him. What is he really like? So I do want to magnify him today. But part of what I want to do is I want to build your confidence. I want you to be more certain in the adverse times. You have a time when you have been really confused and no idea, when you've prayed for something and sought God for something and it just hasn't worked out and you've been really disappointed. Or am I the only one that has those times? Okay. Can you still have a certainty in those times? I mean, this world's a pretty crazy place. Whether we talk about it in terms of, you know, big things that are happening or even things that are happening in people's lives. And certainly the stuff I hear when I deal with people, it's deeply grievous to my heart. And where's God in all of this? And what's he really like? These are challenging things. And I want to build, if I can, some better skills in you to talk to other people who have little or no comprehension about what God's really like. So you can do that in a language that's appropriate for them. I love the songs we've sung here this morning. I love it. That second last one I'm talking about, he's the Lion of Judah and the Lamb who was slain, whose blood breaks the chains. A lot of people have no idea what on earth you're talking about. That's meaningful to me and hopefully to you, but there's a lot of people, that is just crazy, unrecognizable talk to do that. Okay. And, sorry, I'm not being disrespectful at all. I'm going to keep singing that song with great joy and great delight and meaning, but for some that doesn't. There's a young woman that Di and I have been interacting with for some time, and she's got some interest in spiritual things. She really wants to know how that's going to make a difference to her life. Her life's been pretty complex, and put it in very mild terms. And I was out to dinner with her one night, sitting in a Japanese restaurant. We were talking, and she really struggles to understand if there is a God, you know, what he's like, and is he real? And I said to her while we're there, well, if there is a God, what do you think he would really be like? How would you describe it? And so we started to talk, and I was pulling out the serviettes, and we were starting to write on things all over the place, and write some things down. And I actually would like to do this a bit with you today, and hopefully I'm not raising too many worries for you. Are we inventing God, making God to suit us, or a God just made into what our desires are? And in some ways, it could be looked like that when I was talking to this young woman, of how would she like God to be? No, that wasn't actually the question I was asking. I was saying, if there is a God, how do you think he should be? And there's a couple of ways that I want to just introduce this so that I don't stir up too much worry about, because there are people who want to make their spirituality suit whatever means for them. We live in a world where there are no absolutes for many people, and it is for this young woman that I'm talking about that I can't work from the word. I can't work from, this is what it says, this is what it says about God. She says, well, that's just one book out of lots of books, and that's your idea, but she really wants to know. So I can't work from this is a foundation, and the way I read stuff in here, and that is foundational for me, and I suspect it is for you. But there's a lot of people around in society now that, no, that's not something that can be foundational stuff that they can have a trust in. That's the world that we live in. There's 1,001 things to do. But the second point I want to make in all of this is we believe that we and all of humanity is made in God's likeness. It's the way God dreamed up creating humanity. That's what it says in Genesis chapter 1. We are made in God's likeness. And so if we recognize that, even though there's been some pretty potent distortion of God's original intent for humanity, and humanity is also capable of some pretty destructive and harmful things. But even so, if we're made in God's likeness, we must carry something of the likeness in us, and all of humanity must do this. That there's something of God even in all of us, in humanity, because this is the way he's made us. And so if there's a stamp of God's likeness in us, do we have the capacity in some way to get a bit of an idea of that by just reflecting and being able to say, well, I think I can recognize some of the features of God. And asking ourselves, as I was doing with this young woman, what are the aspects that you would truly desire in God? And I think we have some ability to discern when those desires are true and honourable and when they're just self-focused. And there might be some bits that get a bit muddled in the middle or can't easily distinguish, but there is an ability to work out what is right and what is good. So hopefully I'm not worrying you too much in doing this, but and not working this purely from the scripture at this point, because I'm talking about this for yourself, but I'm talking about this in the way that you will want to magnify this to help other people understand as well. I think some of this is really logical. When I was talking to this young woman, I said, well, you know, because she was saying, well, if there is a God, I expect that he's going to be a good God. That he's going to be honest, and he's going to behave well. And I said, well, if God is good, but there's a little bit of it that's a bit nasty sometimes, and just likes to give you, just be a bit mean at times, just to rev you up a bit. Could you handle that? No, he's got to be good to be God. If he's not good, he's not God. You know, we call him a different name, don't we? If he's a bit nasty at times, intentionally, just for the fun of it. And that's what I mean about this being a certain amount of this you can even work out just from what is logical and reasoned out. So what are the aspects of God? And I want to open this up for a little bit of discussion at the moment. What are the aspects of God that you personally value? If we're going to magnify God today, what are the things that matter to you? Come back to that in a minute. But just I want you to think, what are the aspects of God that you have really valued for you? That's been meaningful, that's helped you be able to trust, to be a bit more secure in your life. Any comments? He's trustworthy, yeah? He's always available, yeah? If someone can be a good scribe, I wouldn't mind if someone records these things that are being said. So he's trustworthy, he's available. What else? He doesn't change. Reliable. See if we can come back to the word change, because there's ways of understanding that we like in that, and there's ways that would be a problem in that. If you get God tangled up with a whole lot of the history of Christianity. There's a whole lot of traditional stuff that some people don't want to bar off. And if he doesn't change, well, that can be a confusing thing, can't it? But there's another way of understanding what you're saying. I think what you're meaning is that's a really lovely, trustworthy thing, isn't it? What else? What do you value? He's powerful, yeah. A lot of self-help type stuff of, and I think there's some real value in this, of learning how to do life better and drawing on strengths. I work on a concept often with people when I'm, with my patients about, you know, there's this common medical stuff of you sit people down and introduce yourself and, well, what's wrong? And sometimes that's just really just cutting to the chase and that's really good. But sometimes I try to change the language altogether and get talking to people and issues come up and I say, well, what's strong in you? You know, where's your strengths? And who are the strong people around you in your life? And what are the strong goals that you want to set and head towards? And it starts to make things a bit more practical and we can work out where there's deficiency and who's going to come in and help with this and that. But there are some things in our life which we say, no matter how hard I try, I can't fix that. No matter how much other people try to help me, I can't fix that. And you put yourself on the mercy of God and say, God, I stand before you. I can't fix this. Forgiveness is one aspect of that, but really that's just a stepping stone into something even bigger. I'm saying, will you just do something in my life, God? And you had that experience where you just have to say to him, here I am. I can't go any further. No, I don't want to stay this way, but will you fix me? And sometimes, out of the goodness of his grace, he'll do that awfully fast, like miraculous. And there's others, he just says, well, let's walk this life together and I will bring that change. I will transform you. That's good. I love that aspect. I love to magnify God in that sort of way. Any other aspects of God that you want to, that you really value? No, he accepts us the way we are. This is a profound understanding because this is where religion and Christianity have struggled with for a long time. And we're not complete in this, that there are many times we continue to feel that we've got to get things right before God will interact with us, before he'll love us, before he'll work with us, before he'll accept us. This is a profound understanding. Will he accept us the way we are and still be interested in that, or do we have to go through certain steps before we can get into his good books? I'm in full agreement with that. This was revolutionary for me in my 20s. Get an understanding of what this really means. It meant a whole lot of undoing, a whole lot of theological teaching that I'd been given in the church that I was in. And so I deeply value this sense of the acceptance and the grace of God this way. So, sense of Father. Counselor and a compass for living. So do you ever feel like you're on your own in the dark, never having no one to guide you? No, because you've got something there to care about you as a father, perfect father, someone who's going to keep instructing and talking things over with you and someone who's prepared to say, well, do whatever you feel like doing. No. He's going to give you that guidance. So this is what's worth doing. Not to deprive you of your choice, but to say, this is where to go. That compass. I love that. There's a tremendous hope that we've got, that what we've got for in this world is not all there is. I saw another guy the other day and I was working with him about his strengths. Who's the strong people in your life? And he thought for a bit. He looked at me. It was nice for my ego. He's saying, you are. I'd met him four times. It grieved me that he didn't have any other strengths. His third marriage was looking like it was on the rocks. Here he is in his 70s, and his health's been pretty dicky. And if this life is all there is, you know, he's not got a good track record here, and he's had more disappointments and pain than been pretty lonely. Now, I've seen him since then. He's worked through a lot of stuff, and he's realised there's a heck of a lot more strong people in his life than what he could see at that moment. And he's doing a lot better. But there is much more to this life than, even if we've made a real mess of this, there is still hope that he's got something forward for us and we can be with him forever. Okay, well, time's going to get on. So here's a list for me of what God is like. And this is just a few topics. That he's character perfect. And a lot of you were touched about his commented about his character. He's limitless. He's not limited by time. He's not limited by space. He's not limited by problems. He's not limited by not knowing. He's not in the dark about anything. So he's limitless in those sort of ways. And he is relational and personal. He's not just the God out there. You know, not just the force in nature, he's really interested in us, isn't he? And the other one that I like is he's an originator. He's creative, he's sustaining, he likes to make things multiply and grow, and he's, even when things get trashed, he can recreate things. I like that. And these are concepts that I find that I can build to people. And I'll just take you through a few texts. And if we can roll those one by one, I'll put them up on the screen. Okay. So this is out of Ephesians 3. Now to all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. I want to magnify God in terms of his capacity to know. And so glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus for the sake of the whole world. That's why we get together on a on Sundays. Because God is pouring out his power and his wisdom for us so that we can carry it to our world. That's the glory. And so we do want to glory for him. Is it just for something that happened to the, you know, in those days of the early Christian church? No, it's for all generations. Let's just flick earlier back into Ephesians. And when I think of all this, well, this is Paul saying, oh, I'm full on my knees and I pray to the Father. And we can just keep going. For the creator of everything in heaven and on the earth, I pray that out of his glorious and unlimited resources, is he limited? No, he's a limitless God, and he's limitless for the people that you want to talk to. He's limitless for you in your life, that he can always say, I can do better than that. So out of his glorious and unlimited resources, he can empower you with inner strength through his spirit. He's not just a God who changes circumstances, he changes you, he fills you. And then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust him, and your roots will go down deep into God's love. And keep you strong, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, just how wide and long, how high, how deep his love it really is. And may you experience this love of God. It's not just a head knowledge, but it's an experiential thing. It's too great to understand it fully, and then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. I won't go through it in detail, but there's a psalm in 139 that talks about God knows about you and planned for you from your conception. He saw you, he knew about you in your mother's womb. He had value for this. This is his personal, this really intimate thing. And And where is it in Colossians? I think it is from before the creation of the world, he actually planned individually for us. Now, that's a limitless God who's got the ability to see all of humanity and all of history and yet have something really personal and think about all the days of your life. That's the sort of value that God has got for people and for people all around. And there's a lot we could talk about in regard to this, of the way we talk about the them and us. And some of us can have this and others, oh, no, they're too bad. We won't have anything to do with them. But God has this value for every single one, and I want to work from that. That's why I've made it and I struggle with it. I want to give respect to everybody, no matter how up my nose they are, how difficult they are, how obnoxious, how bad they're behaving. I choose, with God's help, to treat them with respect. That's part of my justice, part of the way I'm wired. Other things may wire you in a different sort of way. We can talk a lot about what God is like, but you know what really makes him happy? It's not just when you magnify him, but you actually do something about it, and that you shift him from being just God to actually being Lord of your life. And there may be some things today that there may be a specific thing that is difficult, and you say, and you want to invite him today, okay, I'm going to make you Lord of that situation. I'm going to take my hands off of being the one to run it. I want to make you Lord of this, and I'm going to trust you that you're going to do something that I haven't been able to do as much as I want to or I feel I should. Just let this responsibility shift to him. The other thing that gets him really excited, if you want to read the scripture, it says party in heaven, is when you just make him Lord of everything. You not just see him as a good God who's there, but you actually let him make a difference to you, and you say, I'm going to make you Lord of this. Now, some of you have been doing that for a long period of time and you know the value of that, and he likes that. And there's a richness that comes. But if you've not ever done that before, I want to encourage you today. Make some shifts. Let him in. Actually, ideally be Lord of everything. That really magnifies him. Makes him excited. I think it'll bring a lot of benefit to you. And I encourage you to do that. That's what becoming a Christian really is about. It's just letting him be Lord of your life. And boy, it's transforming. There's a lot of consequences that come out of that. We haven't got time to talk about that. He's going to really do something significant. But if that's something you need some help with, do it. But I suggest you talk to someone else about it too, so they can help support you in that. And we can pray together today about it if you want to. If you want to ask more questions for how you go about that, we'll do it. But I'm going to leave you to explore some of that. And just to finish up here, I'm just going to ask you to sit quiet and just allow the Lord to touch deep within you today. You may want to just quietly just sit there and just say some thank yous to him, to worship him for who he is, to magnify him yourself.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to connect personally if you're in town. We meet on Sundays at 217 Howick Street for a 10:30 service, or visit our website, c3churchbathurst.org.